The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
My title was clickbait because I just want people to know that, yeah, I'm pretty flawed. But I can make a writing career, so I'm going to try to tell you how I do it. And I should be writing season 18, episode 31.
Well, I should be writing.
So yeah, hi there. This is I Should Be Writing. This is the podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty. I started out a wannabe back in 2005, and now I've done several books and still going because there's all sorts of anxieties and stuff to get through still. Pretty sure I'll never get through it, but I'm here to tell you it's okay. So, we do the show live on Twitch Tuesday, Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, twitch.tv/mightymer. Would love it if you dropped by in the future. Yeah, we're a lively bunch. So, to start out with, I try to do my own word count, my accountability. Word countability, eh? That's why I don't pun. It's terrible. So, today was 2,363 words. For the book so far, words that I like are 41,681. I can say numbers. For the year, there's 65,178. There's also 17,000 junk words that I'll discuss on this episode. I was going to write yesterday, and I did not, because I got kind of hyper-focused on the fact that I was way behind in posting podcasts. So, apologies for that. They will be coming in quick succession. One thing I didn't realize was that I had posted episode 27 to the podcast feed, but I didn't make a blog post for it. So, it was there if you subscribed, but if you, like, went to my site to get it, it wasn't there. So I had to make a blog post for that, and then all the other stuff. So, yeah, we'll be getting lots and lots of episodes. I'm realizing that I have done a bad job of the giveaways for One for All, because I haven't really been giving people a chance to win in time for the event, which is our Spoilers Book Club, on Saturday, August 30th. April. It's the other A month. April 30th. So I'm guessing I'm just going to give one away that night. If you want to win a copy, please email me and in the subject line put giveaway. And U.S. only, please. And I will put you in the drawing and we'll get you one out. And I'm sorry I'm not getting it to you in time to actually read it for the book club. I'm still new at this book club thing and timing giveaways to benefit both the people in the chat live and people listening later on. My bad. So, anytime between now and the 30th, send me your email and we will do a drawing that night. And I better write down that we're going to do a drawing that night. Okay. Okay, got that down. So yeah, that I'm very excited for that. That is coming soon. I'm really interested to see how it works out. Going to be putting a special chat room in the Discord, although I don't know if that's going to be redundant for you guys because there's also the Twitch chat room, but we'll see how it falls. So now we're on to good news. I don't have a ton of good news. I've just got the report that we have had our battle of wills with the dog, and we've won, and she's miserable now, and it breaks my heart. But we finally, she can't lick her foot. If you're new to this, I won't go into details. Just she had a minor surgical thing done 3 weeks ago, and we discovered she could get around the cone and wasn't leaving it alone. So we've ended up with two different kinds of e-collars, plus a bandage on the foot, plus a sort of bandage that tastes terrible. So when she tries to bite on it and pull it, it doesn't taste good. And it's working, but she's miserable, and I feel very bad for her. I just wish I could say, just leave it alone. Leave it alone for like a couple of days. That's all it needs. No, she's going to be a dog. She's going to need what she needs, and she needs, right now, she just wants, just is confused why her people are doing terrible, terrible things to her. But, you know, I'm just calling it good news because her foot is healing. Finally. So yeah, that's my good news. I'm continuing with the book. That's pretty much all I got. Yeah, I guess that's it. If you guys have good news, email me with good news in the subject line or come to a live chat and tell me. Like right now, we have Anne telling us, it's your 3-year anniversary podcasting. Congratulations. Anne writes, inspiration, that's your Twitch name. If you want to put your podcast name in the chat, be happy to say it. I will say, good news is, I modified my ADHD med dosage, or rather my doctor did, and I think I finally got something that works. It's a little scary, and I'm not eating lunch, but I never did eat a lot anyway. So, yeah, I think I've heard people say they take their meds and they can't function without them, or they just... It's like they feel like a superhero in the fact that they can finally focus for the first time, and I never felt that. And I was wondering, what is wrong with me? And apparently it was just the wrong dosage. So, I'm happy with how that's working. I am. Kay Kimmy, you are in time for good news. Please tell me your good news. And while you're doing that, Anne writes, inspiration, Inspired Journeys, Stories That Matter is my podcast. So it's been going on for 3 years. Check it out at where fine podcasts are found. Inspirational Journeys, Stories That Matter. Writers Group is going to go for our 3 anthology. I don't know what a 3 anthology is. But yay for everybody with the podcast anniversary and the anthology and... I got my taxes done and I don't owe. That's amazing, Kay Kimmy. Third anthology. That's great. Congratulations, Raven's Creations. Taxes done and don't owe. Yes, that's amazing. I was just excited to have taxes done and have put aside enough to where in my head I didn't owe because I'd already put the payment aside. So it was... Yeah. I still had to send checks. But yay for all the good news, yes. Yay, everyone. If you have good news, and notice around here we consider rejections good news because rejections means you're a working writer, let me know. Tell me in the chat or tell me in email and we'll discuss it later because I like to celebrate everybody getting good news and I like to celebrate getting people further in their writing career, which unfortunately... includes rejections. It's sad, but it's true. If anybody comes in later and wants to give good news, please let me know. Otherwise, we will move on. I have terrible coffee. I'm really disappointed. So the title of this episode is I'm a Flawed Writer. That's what I said, right? I'm a Flawed Writer? Sounds good. Sure. One thing, I was looking for a topic for today... and was reading a variety of things, and then realized, I started thinking back to my scenes that I wrote today, and thought, oh yeah, those Those are flawed. I do a lot of repetition. I do a lot of repetition. I always wonder how people... I'm an over-explainer. And it really bothers me when there's fiction that you can see purposefully doesn't under-explains, or they purposefully have a misunderstanding based on just needing conflict. I'm a big fan of Schitt's Creek, but there was one episode where Moira went to a local municipality convention with the mayor, and they got really drunk, and she woke up fully clothed on top of his bed, on top of his quilt. He was naked and in the bed, but it was very clear nothing had happened because she was fully clothed on top of the bedspread. And so onward, it wasn't like too much of a... Like her husband didn't really believe that she had done anything. But I found it fascinating and really irritating that she, of course nothing happened. But she never said, I woke up, fully clothed, on top of the bed cover. The quilt, whatever. It's like, that seems to be the most obvious thing to tell someone that you know you didn't sleep with anybody. Because, yeah. And it's like, they never, ever, ever said that. And I'm like, why? It's obvious. It's just, and maybe they just did not want something. So, they didn't want the conflict taken care of so quickly. I don't know. But, it really bothered me. But on my end, I am an over-explainer. I've got a character talking to his husband and they're having an argument. And he's saying his piece, and then he's going off to talk to the person investigating the murder. And I find myself telling her everything that had just happened, that the reader read. And I'm like, oh yeah, this gotta be tightened up. This is not good. I'm also very, very bad at, my brain will hold on to a phrase and will repeat it many times, and I'll never see it. It gets so bad that if I've seen it and I've cleaned it up, when I'm reading through something, like another copy edit, another edit pass, I'll be reading a paragraph thinking, oh wow, this phrase would really be good here, and I'll put it in, and then I'll realize I had already put it in, just two lines down. It's bad enough to be obvious to me now, but not obvious enough not to do. Description. I'm terrible. I hate it. I'm terrible at it. I remember every way I felt in describing the climax of Ghost Train to New Orleans. How I tried so hard to put so much detail in that house and put detail into the fight. Then I remember my editor going, this scene is great. Do that for the rest of the book. It's like I was sweating blood. It was just like, it was so hard to write that scene. And yeah, I had to go in. So I'm realizing that I've forgotten what half the people look like in my book. I'm going to need to go through the first book to make sure I get some consistencies. Yeah, I'm not good with description of places or of people. I'm not that good at it. Although I did just read Kaiju Preservation Society by John Scalzi. He doesn't describe any of his people. None of them. Let's see. I am too nice. I am far too nice. It is hard for me to start out writing conflict. I have literally started out with two people who haven't seen each other, ended on a bad note, greeting each other and being pleasant and saying, hey, would you like a tour of the space station? Sure, why don't we? Yeah. I had to write that scene 3 times until I got the level of discomfort that needed to be there. People don't want to read about pleasant things happening between two people unless you've got a really, really fascinating everything else, like a Long Way to a Small Angry Planet. There is some conflict in that book, but there's not a lot. I was telling someone how I thought I was over being awed by authors because I am now one, and while I don't fool myself to believe I'm as good as, like, really, really amazing authors, I at least see them as, okay, they go through similar things that I go through. I'm having the same sort of career, so they're not magic anymore. And then I met Becky Chambers, and then I almost cried. I was like hating myself. I'm like, my eyes are welling up trying to tell this author what she means to me. Oh my God. Am I a pro? What is happening? Yeah, that was embarrassing. She just looked uncomfortable. And now we have the same agent. And I'm wondering if there's going to be like awkwardness at Worldcon or something. Cause I figure usually agents like at least have a meeting with their people or take them out to dinner or drinks or something. So Becky's up for a number of Hugos, and yeah, so gotta not weep on myself over Becky Chambers when I see her again. I have gotten way off topic. But yeah, I'm too nice. A lot of times it's hard getting people in my head, and it's funny. I think I'm putting way too much stress on myself. I was like really, really stressing about a certain character's personality and getting his voice right. And then I was invited to be in the live play RPG on Badger Hub's channel. And in making up my character, it just flowed. I knew everything about her. I knew how she'd react to everything. Just this girl just formed herself out of salt and putty in my head. And I don't know what that means, but it sounded good. I knew everything about her. And then I was helping out a friend with some side characters in a project. And those characters just happened. They just came out. And I've got this really important character in my book. And I still don't, I still don't have his voice quite yet. So why am I telling you all of these things that I'm bad at? Well, a couple things. A lot of times people look at their first drafts and they compare that to other people's final drafts. What's worse is beginning writers will compare their first drafts to, like, award-winning, best-selling final drafts. And you think, I'll never get there. And you gotta know that you can, because almost anything's fixable. Granted, editors may not want to work with you if there's too many things to be fixed, which is how, you know, where you need to grow as a writer by yourself. But I'm realizing a couple of things about myself in this new book I'm writing now. One is, I'm looking forward to the edit pass for the first time in my life, I think, because I'm making a lot of notes in the margins, in the little note area in Scrivener, and saying, oh, I need to retcon that this person did this when they were introduced, or I'm putting this clue in here to indicate something else later, and I don't want to forget it. I've done that so many freaking times, have somebody, like, I remember that this thing that's happening is a clue, but I don't know what it's for. So yeah, if you have a clue that won't be paid off for a little while, write it down. Just write it down. That's why I love Scrivener. Not endorsed or not sponsored. Just love Scrivener. But the description, the repetition problem and the description problem, that's just going through with a rag and wiping up all the nasty bits. My metaphors are weird today. I'm sorry. But it doesn't take a lot of work. You just have to be patient and spot them and know where a scene needs to be expanded in description and reduced in repetition, because I'm doing them both. But here's the big thing I've discovered about myself in writing this new book. When I look at how long it takes me to write a book, I have got to schedule in or factor in days to get to know the book. You know, I've said that it breaks my heart to say that there's 17,000 words I'm probably going to have to throw away. I've already removed them. They're still, like, there in Scrivener, but they're not counted towards the final book, so I'm not fooling myself. And would I love to just, like, find a way to massage them in and suddenly go from 41,000 to almost 60,000? Yes, that would be great. But I'm not fooling myself, because I know that I've got that scene that I wrote three times, and the third one is currently in the book. So those two other scenes, yeah, they gotta go. And when I think about how long it's gonna take me to write a book, I can't think, okay, 1,000 words a day, every weekday, between now and then, that's X many days. No, it does not, it's not gonna take me 100 days to write a book, because I'm gonna have days where I'm going to write a scene two or three times and get it right the last time. I'm going to have days where I introduce someone and realize their personality is completely different. It needs to be completely different. And I need to throw out everything I have and start fresh. I feel like I've said this recently. I apologize if I have, but there's the anecdote about Barbara Kingsolver starting her novels at page minus 100. Because she needs to write 100 pages of whatever she needs to get out of her system before the actual book starts. This is what that feels like. Those 17,000 words, I had to write them. I don't feel they were wasted. I don't feel they were... I guess wasted is the only word I need. I didn't waste time. I didn't waste words. It just took me that time to wander around to find out what this book wants to be. And I gotta remember that when it comes to structuring my time next time, because I need that time to mess around with words. And I think if I am worried, if I'm thinking I need to do 1,000 words a day, and then at the end of 100 days I'll have a book, it's not that clean. So that's how they get over the whole too nice problem. I can start out nice. I just need to remember that the final draft can't be nice. People don't want to hear nice. They want to hear the two people, they really want to see that the two people who left on an animosity tone meeting each other, also still pissed off. And as for getting people in my head, I think I need to lower the expectation for myself, which is really hard convincing yourself something doesn't matter. Because you know it matters because you're writing a book and it's a big project. But I think about how easy it was to come up with these throwaway characters. And now that I have an important character, he's like this enigma. And that's not good. So I had something to say about... I know it feels shallow, but... A lot of times I've learned a lot about character in ensemble TV shows. I've said it before that the characters in Sex and the City has its problems, huge problems. And I didn't even like most of the characters. And I felt weird watching it in sort of like a eating Cheetos for breakfast kind of way. But I tell you that those four women were all different. And if you stripped all the names out of a script, a person who knows the show could read the script and know who's saying what. It was clear. Everyone had their own way of talking, and it was very clear who these characters were. And again, Friends also problematic, and it's a sitcom. It's got its shallow bits. Where the hell did Ben go? You know, there's also that. But I have those habits of playing a beloved show in the background when I'm cleaning or cooking or something. So if I miss something, I'm not going to actually miss it. And when I do hear it, I mostly enjoy what I hear. So I've been through this with, like, The Office and Friends and Schitt's Creek. One thing I realized with Friends after many, too many viewings is there are rules about the characters that people don't talk about very often. And I think it's in The Office, too. And it's hard to tell because they're subtle rules. Like, Chandler does not give good advice. Every time Chandler gives advice, it blows up. This is actually, Monica points this out way later in the thing. But it's more of a, what have I told you about giving advice? Don't give advice, you're terrible at it. But, you know, that's not just an opinion. That's like, that had to be in the character. You know, somewhere it's written on a wall for Friends' writing room, which is Chandler cannot give good advice. Everything has to blow up. And there were other things I remember. Kevin in The Office does not understand subtlety, but will be the person to say the most obvious thing that everyone else is too scared to say. And yeah, he's not very bright, but, you know, sometimes he's like, why are you all doing this? Because clearly, this person's miserable. And, you know, there was a time when people were very uncomfortable at a party, and when we left, Kevin's like, great, great food. Loved it. You're a terrible person, but really loved the food. And the person's like, what? And he's like, oh, these people, they love you. And you're just treating them horribly. But still, again, great food. And then he leaves. It's like little things like that. And I think that's more for TV writing, but I kind of feel like characters with more than, like, hobbies or tics. These are rules that are not so obvious to the reader, but helps you create the character. And helps you when you're wondering where this dialogue's going. Well, you gotta remember, Chandler can't give good advice. Kevin's gonna say the most obvious thing that no one's willing to say. Things like that. I haven't checked at chat for a while, and so I'm gonna check in with you guys. Because I've been talking a long time. I've had to replace 3 paragraphs of repeated explanation with Cass recounted the incident on several occasions. Yes, Tree Lobsters. Anne Wright says I had to add some world building to my current work in progress to make the readers see what I see in my head. Yes. I'm also not good at visualizing things. I don't think I'm completely incapable of doing it, because I have heard that's a thing. But I'm not good at doing it. Like, I literally, when I picture, like, a room, I literally picture the room, like, a big square space, and the furniture I need the characters to interact with. I'm proud of myself if I think to, like, put clothes on the floor to imply that they're messy or something. It's bad. I have trouble writing conflict because I'm super conflict avoidant in real life. I think that might be my problem too, Lee, actually. I just sent a bunch of links to a friend about how to write stories with low or no conflict. Kids are asleep. I know you wrote this a while back, but I would love to hear more about why. Because I know that was one of the biggest complaints about Long Way to a Small Angry Planet, was it did not have a lot of conflict. Or the conflict was resolved almost immediately. Except for The Small Angry Planet, which was the climax of the book and was a big deal. But I keep wanting to give everyone redemption or happy endings. So bad at writing villains who are villains. I need to use more reference photos. Yes, I did do that for 6 Wakes. I think that might have helped me. Anne says, how do you engage your reader without conflict? That sounds boring to me. That's not to say I perfect at writing. I just don't like to read a story without it. It builds tension. And I recommend checking out Long Way to a Small Angry Planet. A lot of it feels like a Star Trek episode. And, you know, it feels episodic, and there's not a lot of conflict that is not easily resolved. And there's not a lot of conflict that sticks around. But some people dislike that. But you know what? I bought it in 2016, and it was what I needed then. Boy, howdy, was it. And then, with how quickly she made up for the weaknesses in that book, you know that she's amazing. Just, like, you put out a flawed book, realize, oh, there's some flaws, okay. And then, like, yeah, things are just phenomenal now. Can't remember who said it, the best villains think they're heroes. Yeah, that's, well, every character is the hero of their own story, which has given me problems sometimes when my side characters don't do what the main character or the author wants them to do. Yeah, two people broke up in a book because I realized that they both had to be the center of their own stories. And because they were the center of their own stories, they couldn't be supportive to the other one. Oops. Kids Are Asleep says, instead of conflict, you rely on things like mystery and revelation, or you create characters people want to follow around. Yes. Thank you, Kids Are Asleep. Not a big fan of Sex and the City. I know, it was not the best. It's just, it's the thing I always think of when I want to consider writing, like, for very distinct, different people. It was good at that. They were, a lot of them were terrible people, and the show had its issues. But anyway. Rules seems more in-depth and interesting than a signature catchphrase. Yeah, okay, Kimmy, I was trying to come up with things. Anyway, if you are just now coming, I will give you my word count. It is 2363 today. The book has 41,681 words I'm happy with. And this year I've written 65,178 words. A lot of them crap. But that's what this whole episode's about. Because I'm, yeah. Oh, Space Valkyries is in the middle of reading It's the Long Way to a Small Angry Planet. It's neat. I am really curious about if you read the next book. That one is my favorite. It's already, like, it's a very different it's a very different tone, and it's not like a big ensemble cast like Small Angry Planet. And she does the thing in a series that worries me, actually. It doesn't worry me, it frightens me. Which is, a lot of times when people fall in love with a book, do they fall in love with the characters or the setting? Because if they fall in love with the characters, then telling somebody else's story is a big risk. There's, certainly won't spoil you, but there's something that happens at the end of Angry Planet where a character makes a decision and the next book picks up that character and their decision and keeps going on. And she's written several other books in that world, and she manages to make them all really good. But it was like loving characters that made me not want to read any extra Star Wars books for so long. Because I wanted to read about Luke and Leia and Han and Chewie. But I have learned, obviously, with all of the stories that have come out, especially recently, that is a setting. But it's hard to know. Preemie was shortlisted for the Alberta Literary Awards. That's amazing. Congratulations, Preemie. Don't know if you're still here, but yay. Oh, okay, Kimmy, summon Evil Myr. I know you've mentioned this before, but how do you track editing in your word count? Well, I have not done a whole lot of editing. Well, okay, I don't know if you're asking one of two things, so I'll answer them both. If you're talking about, like, my daily word count, I usually take the words that I need to cut, and not if it's like a sentence or something, but, you know, like, I know this scene of two characters meeting for the first time in years needs to be cut. I just take it and I put it somewhere else that I can save and know that those are words I wrote. and that helps me be able to at least say that I got those words written. Nothing happened with them, but they got written. If you're talking about how you say your goal is to write 1,000 words a day, but you're in an edit pass, how do you keep up, how do you set a goal that way? I believe we did it what did we say? Editing for an hour was 800 words or something, or 400 words? I can't remember. But it was something we came up with it for the magic spreadsheet, because people wanted to say, you know, keep track of their chain without, but they had edits to do, so their word count was going to fluctuate. So I think we just said, if you edit for an hour, you can count this many words if that's your goal. But yeah, I just write down what the number is somewhere else. And since people told me how to look at my daily word count history in Scrivener, I've been much better at keeping track of things. So that's why I'm doing it this year for the first time ever, because I know where to find them now. And I am trying to keep track of the stuff that I cut. So that's how. I think I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast here, because we've been going a while, and then we can keep talking later afterwards. You've been listening to I Should Be Writing, and I really appreciate you doing that. If you enjoy I Should Be Writing, or if it's made a difference to you, to your writing, to your life, whatever, consider telling a friend or leaving a review. It really, really does help. Please. If you would like to support in other ways, you can support via Patreon at patreon.com/mightymer or Ko-Fi. No, it's Ko-Fi. I'll get it one of these days. ko-fi.com/mightymer. Or you can join us at Twitch and support with a subscription over at twitch.tv/mightymer. But all of this is free content. So if you can't support that way, then we're still free. Yeah, read more about me at merverse.com, and Station Eternity is coming out in October, and you can pre-order it now at wherever fine books are sold. We're doing our very first Spoilers Book Club on April 30th, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, where we're going to have Lily Lanoff here, and we're going to talk about One for All, which is her newest book, or her first book. And we're going to talk about it from the point of view of writers who want to get into every single question about every spoiler you can think of. So if you join us that night, or you listen, I don't even know if I'm putting it in the feed. Probably should. But it will have spoilers. It will have questions about the end. It will have questions about all sorts of spoilers. That's why we call it Spoilers Club. We hope you read the book. We hope you join us, and we hope you listen. It's going to be fun. So, I think that's all the things. See you next Tuesday on Twitch, I hope. If not, we'll see you next time I post it in the feed, hopefully soon. But you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks, and hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at merverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Doctor
Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.